2 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to talk this morning about what voices are you following? A lot of voices out there we listen to, isn't there? A lot of voices come against us. And we must recognize the voices that come from the devil and the ones that come from God. And we'll talk about that because voices is what leads us into problems. Voices that tell us to fear things, to be afraid of things. Voices that tell us to doubt things and not believe things. Voices that tell us we'll never change, never be healed, never be fixed, never be right. Voices that tell us we'll always be the way we are. Voices that tell us we'll never go any farther. Voices that tell us that this is what it is and nothing's going to change. All these voices that come from the devil that go against God's word to try to destroy us and hold us captive. How many know that your thoughts can hold you captive? You ever lost sleep over your thoughts? Yeah. Your thoughts can hold you captive. You can't have joy because of wrong thoughts, or peace because of wrong thoughts, or strength because of wrong thoughts. And it seems that we listen to those voices because it is the thoughts of the devil, it seems, that we can feel the most sometimes. Because we must learn what God's word says and live by faith and not by flesh and not by feeling. We've been talking the last few weeks about that, about how God is bigger, how God is greater. What are we, you know, listening to? Who are we looking at? Where is our faith? Kind of spun off from your message. You both got brown, I'm sorry. Your message that you preached a few weeks ago. Where's your faith? You know, where's our faith lie? Does it lie in the voice that the devil tells us? There's a lie in what God tells us. God's word is truth. Whether you believe it or not, it's still truth. I don't care if you don't believe God didn't create heaven and earth. Don't make it not true. He did. So it doesn't matter what we don't believe. It doesn't cancel out the truth of God's word. So we're going to talk about what voices can do to our lives and what we're really fighting against. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning of verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, the Amplified says the weapons of our warfare are not physical. They're not weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. It is God's will in your life that your strongholds are broken. That's what the word says, that strongholds are supposed to be broken. That's what we're fighting against, not flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. And it is God's will that strongholds are broken in your life and you're not destroyed by those, but that you have victory over those. Now, Bruce sung a great song this morning, which I really liked the part of the pastor preaches hard, I can't get one amen. So just in case you didn't hear that song, you can say an amen, that's okay. We've passed that stage of 10 years of ministry that we can say amen and no deacon will usher you out of the church, I promise. If they do, we'll usher them out. So you can say amen, that's okay. If you don't agree, that's fine, don't say amen. But it is God's word that tells us that the strongholds are to be destroyed. Now, what is a stronghold? A stronghold is anything that has you bound. You know, we look at people's lives. We see them bound to alcoholism or drug addiction or cigarette smoking or whatever we want to put a category on. But do you realize that people that don't do those things are quick to point out why we shouldn't do them, which, you know, of course we shouldn't do those that destroy our body, destroy our lives. But if it was that easy just to stop, people lose their families, their jobs, their homes, their marriages, all over strongholds and addictions. And if it was that simple just to say, let's just stop, everybody would stop. Right? Would there be a drug addict or an alcoholic if they could just stop on their own power? Who wants to? I talked to a guy. He called me down to us. This was years ago. He's living in Florida now. 2 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call. He's crying. Pastor, I need you to come down here. He lives in Mortville. Sitting out in his car in the driveway. So go down there. He had a drug addiction problem. He was breaking into his own business. Him and his wife owned a business. He was going in after hours, stealing his own equipment and selling it for drugs. His wife had just announced she was leaving him and she was pregnant with their second child. He's sitting there crying, saying, I'm losing my wife. I'm losing my family. Our business is going in foreclosure because I bankrupted it by stealing from it. and he's crying, "I just can't stop." The reason he couldn't stop is it was a stronghold in his life. Now, church, we all have them. If I went around the room, we would all have a dark secret that all of us would have something to say. That's probably a stronghold, whether one admit it or not. Whether it's a spirit of lust, spirit of gossip, spirit of jealousy, spirit of fear, whatever it is, all of us would have something to say. It's a stronghold. There are people that won't drive on the interstate because they're afraid. They take back or they're where to go. Sounds funny to some of y'all. To them, they will not get on the interstate. What do you call that? Fear? Which is part of what? A stronghold. When I first started getting Christian, well, Melanie actually started with Christian driving, but she wouldn't do interstate with her. She said, "I'll do back roads, but I'm not doing interstate with her." So I did. And I made her drive interstate almost every time we drove. When I was teaching her to drive, get on interstate. But that, don't get on the interstate. And she would get on there and go around that truck. But that, go around the truck. Turn signal, look around, a little bit, around the little truck. But that wasn't a Volkswagen, and that was our car, the Grand Prix. Around the truck. And she told me later, said, "Dad, thank you for making me get on the interstate." Because I don't know about you, that's the only way to go unless you fly, right? Would you want to go to Disney World back roads? I mean, really? Be a four-day trip? Think about it. Get behind some tractor, Farmer Joe, going 10 miles an hour. Behind a truck going 20 miles an hour. Behind a dump truck going 30 miles an hour. Really? Back at old Mickey Mouse cartoon. Remember he pulled the camper? Goofy Mickey Mouse kept trying to go around. Terrible. So, but see, that's a stronghold for somebody. You know, if I announce right now that I have a rattlesnake in this podium, this church would clear. Or even got amen out of Jeremy on the sound guy. We all have strongholds. Some are just maybe more deeper or more serious or more life-threatening than others. For the person that's always contemplating suicide, taking their lives or ending it all, or "I can't go on," that's a stronghold. That the devil's continually lying to them that their life is worth more dead than alive. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. It's not worth more dead than alive. God gave you life, and God gifted you with life. You are not an accident. You are predestined to be here, a breath from the Most High God. And so when the devil says you shouldn't live, that's a lie. We need to rebuke that and refute that thought and say, no, God gave me life. Which voices are we following? Strongholds are meant to be broken. Look at verse 5. This is the key verse. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We know what captivity means. When we get a murderer off the street or a rapist off the street and they're behind bars, we feel safe. He's behind bars. He's captive. When something's captive, they no longer pose a danger. When they're captive, they no longer pose a threat. So when our thoughts are captive into God's way of thinking, then those thoughts no longer pose a threat into our lives. It's important we recognize that. When fear comes, what's the opposite of fear? Faith. Opposite of fear is faith. So when fear comes, and that fights a lot of us, fear. Fear of our health, fear of our finance, fear of the future, fear of our children, fear of what's to come. Fear's a big thing. And fear can come at us like a green-headed monster. And I mean, it bites into us and don't want to let go. Fear. Just afraid of life. But the Bible says, talks all about faith, and that fear does not come from God. God does not give the spirit of fear. So we counteract that voice of fear with what God's word says of faith. And we take that fear and we entrap it and we captivate it. And then when it's trapped, it can't do any more harm. It's in a cage. It can't go no further. It can't spread its poison any deeper. We bring that into captivity. How? By thinking the thoughts of God and by counteracting with faith. Nope. What's the opposite of fear? It's faith. You know, what's the opposite of discouragement? Encouragement. What's the opposite of fear as well? Peace. You know, Melanie's all about peace. She's the peace queen of the church. And we know that peace is a very important part of our walk with God. And man, when the devil tries to rattle that peace, we can't function in life. Our thoughts will absolutely destroy us if we let them. And that's why we must bring those wrong thoughts and those wrong voices into the obedience of God. When we do that, we start hearing and following the right voice and not the wrong voice. Captive to the obedience of Christ. So what's our biggest enemy? What's our terror threat as Christians? It's thoughts, wrong thoughts. That's how the devil first gets in. We know the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, and we know it's more deep and detailed than what we read in the first few verses of Genesis. But as the enemy approached Eve, what happened? She began to think and have thoughts that were against what God had told her to think about and look upon. And as she began to, now understand, it doesn't say this, but we just have to use some common sense as humanity. I don't think Eve went out and in one day, in one moment, the first time the enemies consumed her. I think it was a process of time. Just like it was with David and Bathsheba. David didn't just go out on his balcony, wow, she's taking a shower naked, she's hot, I want her, go get her, be here in 15 minutes. It wasn't that way. It was a process of keep looking, a process of keep thinking, a process of keep dwelling. And as we know, the thoughts we carry will produce results if we don't get rid of them. I'm talking about bad thoughts. We got to get. So I think the enemy approached Eve after a process of time, and she kept, you know, whatever, and then she gave in because she got thinking about things. Well, he says it'll do this, and I'll be like God, and my eyes will be open. That's pretty good stuff. I don't know. Maybe that's what I want, and that's what I need, and maybe God is holding something back for me. Maybe God isn't what he says he is. Maybe the devil is right. Do you know when we begin to give more thought to what the enemy says than what God says, we really are endorsing the enemy? We're saying, enemy, you're right. That's really what we're doing. So we need to change that and say, devil, you're not right. The story of the 10 spies or 12 spies that went to spy out the land, only two come back with the right report. 10 of them came back. They spy the land. They were big men, big giants. And they came back and says, hey, we can't, Moses, we can't. They're bigger than us. They're stronger. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. But Caleb and Joshua had a different report. They stood up and they said, what are y'all talking about? Are you kidding me? We're the people of God. We must go now. Let's just hit it now and go possess the land. Let's do it. They didn't see the size of the people. They saw the size of their God because their thoughts were, God, you're with us. You're behind me. You didn't say it'd be easy. You didn't say they'd be midgets. You said, go take the land. So that's what I'm going to do. Go take the land. So it doesn't matter, church, what's before us. God's gave us the victory already. It doesn't matter what giant stands and snarls at us. We have the victory already. It doesn't matter what comes our way. That's what faith's all about. It's saying, God, I believe in you more than I believe in anything else. The devil comes to discourage us. He torments in our dreams and our sleep and brings wrong thoughts to us and bad thoughts to us and makes us question, is God really there? Is God really true? Or is it really going to work out? Or can I be delivered? Can I be healed? Can I be right? And we harbor all these wrong thoughts. And before we know it, what are we doing? We're acting on the thoughts we're harboring. And we begin to feel defeated before we ever take the field. We become defeated. Imagine lining up in front of somebody. Imagine this. And they're bigger than you. They're stronger than you. They're quicker than you. They're more equipped than you. You know, last night at the Fall Festival, Randy had a dumbbell back there that weighed about the amount that Goliath's helmet weighed. Just the helmet part. Now, we had a poster on the back wall last night of how big Goliath was. Had a banner up on the wall to show people how big Goliath was according to Scripture. And I'm going to tell you something. You get a guy that big, over 9 foot tall. I mean, think about it. You stay in an 8 foot swimming pool, you're still above water. Big guy, 9 foot, with all the armor, and his proportion of his body was with his height. It wasn't like he was a stick, 9 foot. Like Gumby. Gumbo. Yeah, Gumby. He was proportionate, filled out with all of this armor. And here comes little David, little Cameron, standing before Goliath. Howdy. Howdy. So you're the one I got to fight, huh? Looks that way. You sure you want to tangle with me? Because I'm Goliath, and you're pretty small. Yeah, but I got a pretty big God. Okay, we'll see. I got my sword. You don't have no sword. I got armor. You don't have no armor. I fought all kinds of wars. I was in the Gulf, Afghanistan, Iraq. Where was you at? I was petting sheep. Oh, okay. Petting sheep. Boy, you're manly. So David just says, I'm a bad mamma jamma. Here I come. So he just took that stone and that one had a slingshot. We know if you're a guy, you've had a slingshot. We know what slingshots are. Opie had a slingshot, killed a bird, remember? Bless his little heart. Take a slingshot, put a stone. Whew. Bam! Right there in the head. Ouch. Right there in the head. Boom, he falls down. He walks over. Can't you see? I mean, and here's the thing about David, there was no doubt. I really think there was no doubt. I don't think David was sitting there scared and shaking and, God, I sure hope you show up because I've got myself in a mess. I really think David knew that he knew because he had it inside of him. He wasn't listening to voices of his brothers out in that land. He was listening to the voice of God petting the sheep. He done seen God move when he killed a bear coming after his sheep. He done seen God move. He knew who God was, and he had no doubt. And as that giant hit the ground, the Bible says he went over and he cut his head off and held that big old head up in the air. Tell all, this is who you're afraid of? Are you kidding me? This was one guy that was defying a whole nation. Kind of the opposite of what Don preached about the 300 men in Gideon. This time, I mean, you're talking about one enemy instead of one hero, one enemy holding off a whole nation of people. And they were afraid, but not David, because he was following the voice of truth, the voice of God that says, be not afraid, I am with you always. Living a life of faith is hard, church. It's very hard. Because if we can't see it and we can't touch it and we can't figure it out, I mean, how many of us have spent countless hours trying to figure out how something's going to work out? Situation, we stay up at night trying to figure it out, writing it out, you know, talking it out, calling everybody. I mean, we're telling the woman in front of the food line, we don't even know, hey, ma'am, how you doing? Oh, you getting beanie weenies? I like beanie weenies. Hey, speaking of beanie weenies, I got a problem. My dog, what should I do? I mean, we just go into conversation, trying to get advice from everybody. Instead of just trusting God and sitting still and saying, God, you know what? You're going to make a way. You are going to make a way. And the lies the enemy tells me are lies. And I've got to recognize their lies, dismiss those lies, and walk in truth. And take those thoughts and captivate them, imprison them, so they do no more harm in my life. We must hear what the voice of God is saying. You heard a beautiful song that I danced to, God is for you. He is for us, church. If God is for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? Nobody. Who can bring a charge to God's elect? Nobody. We've read the end of the book. We know what happens. We win. I mean, we win. That's no prophetic word. It's in the Bible. We win. The Bible makes it clear for those that are His, we are safe. We are protected. We are secure. That no harm's going to come our way. We have escaped death, and we have escaped hell. We've escaped the grave because of what Jesus did. The blood has bought us back from what we belong to. We have been rescued. We were prisoners of war to the devil, and then our captain showed up, and he barricaded himself into our lives, and he removed every bar and every shackle and set us free. That's the voice of truth. That's what we need to be listening to. God, I'm free. Galatians 5:1 says, be not entangled again. Stand the liberty which you have attained, and be not entangled again with that yoke of bondage. We have been liberated forever. Forever, not temporarily, forever. We have been liberated by God. We can do this. We can be free. We can have victory. We can walk in power. But we can't do it alone. We must let the one inside of us fight our battle and let that voice come forth. There are so many voices. I wrote a few things down here as I was just preparing yesterday. Here's some voices of the devil. Fear, lust, anger, unforgiveness, doubt, jealousy, pride, rebellion, confusion, self-interest, division. Here's the voice of God. It comes opposite of all these. Self-control, gladness, forgiveness, faith, trust, submission, obedience, clarity, serving others, and unity. Just some examples of how many voices that we encounter every day. And recognizing that's of the devil, not going to listen to it. Nope. You just need to shut up because I'm not listening. It's time we tell the devil to talk to the hand because the ears ain't hearing. Done. I know that's kind of old now, but still kind of cool. Talk to the hand. Because the ears ain't hearing. Just shut up. Just shut up. Because when you're trying to discourage me and deceive me and talk to me, there's a reason behind that. So I got to recognize that. God must about to be doing something great in my life. I'm not going to listen to that and get all discouraged. I'm going to trust God. You know, we have to trust God every day, all day, for the rest of our lives. It's not something we leave here like Bruce said on Sunday and all because I don't trust God on Monday. God's still with you on Monday. At your job and where you work and at your school and where you're going and what you're doing, trust God. At any moment, God can change things for you in an instant. Y'all would have testimony after testimony of things God did for you instantly. Doors he opened, ways he made that you knew was no other way but God. That you knew God did it for you. Listen to those voices. You know, there are so many, you know, the prison system is full because of people listening to the wrong voice. Asylums are full because of people listening to the wrong voices. Divorces because of the wrong voices. Rebellious kids because of the wrong voices. Young people because of wrong voices. Thinking they got to do this and do this and do this to be popular and to be accepted and to be like everybody else. You shouldn't want to be like everybody else. You should want to be. You young people should want to be so different they're talking about you because you're so different. Not because you're like everybody else. You got to be want to be different in a good way. Different. That people are talking about me because I am different. You know what? I'm proud of it. And you know what? They're proud of it too. They just won't tell you. But they're proud of it. And you're the light they need to see. You're the light they need to see. But if we listen to the voice of everybody else and follow the crowd, we just go off a cliff like everybody else. Voices are a powerful thing. And we need to learn which ones are God and which one's the enemy. And I'll tell you this, God gives you clarity. The Bible says the devil is the author of confusion. If you're confused, you wait. Church, you wait. You never make a decision in confusion, ever. You wait. God will clearly show you and paint for you what you need to do. Trust that. Which voices are you following? Which ones are you listening to? You know, a lot of you can't get past your past because of the way you were raised. You had parents or a mom or a dad that was so negative and so judgmental or beat you down or didn't want you to succeed or talked about you or maybe left you or abandoned you, abused you. You got to stop listening to those voices as well because those voices are long dead and gone. They should be. Say, you know what? I'm not going to let one more day go by where my past dictates my future. That's over. That's over. I'm going to let it die. All is forgiven. I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to enjoy what God has for me. We have a lot of crutches we use, you know. We can blame our parents or our past or our upbringing on a lot of things. And I know it can definitely develop and cause things in our lives to happen. I understand that. But we got to break that cycle. We got to stand up and say, you know what? I'm not going down that road. I'm not going to follow that path. I'm not going to walk in that curse. I'm not going to walk in that addiction or that stronghold. I'm not going to be that mother that my mother was or that father my father was. I'm not going to be that way. No, I'm breaking that today, and I'm listening to the voice that God's called me to be and God's called me to do. And get rid of the crutches and start walking by the voice of God. Because God has great things for his people. And God is still in the healing. I'm talking about, all healing. Emotional healing that needs to take place. So much pain. So much. There's so many strongholds that so many of you are carrying. And you've had for so long. You see no hope. You see no change. And what we're doing, we're fueling the fire by our thoughts being the devil's thoughts. You know, we shout ugly things to our spouses and to our children, things we should never come out of our mouth. Never come out of our mouth. Watch what you say. Man, those words are powerful. And those words can cause so much damage, or they can bring so much healing. Take the "I hate you" and make them "I love you" and see what happens. Take the, you know, "it's never going to work" till "let's try to make it work" and see what happens. The devil wants to destroy you. That's his mission. The Bible says that clearly. Jesus says, "the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." That's God's purpose. It's for us to have life, not death. The enemy is the destroyer. And so when you're having those thoughts of fear and rebellion and anger and jealousy and strife and envy and discouragement and oppression, remind you, this is not God. No, this is not God. We know, church, in case you don't, let me just get a bulletin here. The devil is alive and well. He is roaming the earth, the Bible says, to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Do we have the power of the devil? Absolutely, but not within ourselves. We have the power through Jesus who lives inside of us. That's where our power comes from. So the devil is knocking. He's trying. He's trying to knock some of y'all off your course and on your backside hard as he can to destroy you. He's trying to break up your home and break up your marriages, get between you and your children, bring havoc into the home, bring wrong thoughts into your mind, wrong decisions you're about to make. That is all lies of the devil. Bind those and refute those and rebuke those. Say, "those are not thoughts of God. Lord, I want every thought to be from you and not from the enemy. I surrender those thoughts into your care to take those thoughts and cage them up so they'll quit following me around and destroying my life." The more we think about something, the more likely we are to do it. That's human nature. The more we dwell on something, the more chances we're going to do it. You say, "I'll never do something like that, Pastor." You keep dwelling on it long enough, you will. Think about this. You're on a diet trying to eat healthy, but all you can think about is a Big Mac. That's all you can think about. I mean, you're at home drawing pictures of it while you're eating your salad. And you're drawing the cheese, and you're drawing the Big Mac sauce and the sesame seed bun. And you're drawing it. It's all you're thinking. But nope, I'm on a diet. But you keep thinking about it. So you go to McDonald's. Here's your justification. I'm going to go to McDonald's. I'll get me a chicken salad. So you go to the drive-thru and I want some chicken salad. Okay? And put some Big Mac sauce on the side. Just sauce. So you're starting to cheat a little bit because you're thinking about it. So you take that home, put the sauce over your salad. Then you start saying, "you know what? I've done good today. I've ate a salad for 2-3 days in a row now. I could do one Big Mac. That's not a big deal. I'll burn that off because hang on, I've got a reason. I've got to clean up the basement tonight, so I'll burn off calories doing that. So I'll get me a Big Mac. Just one." And so you go get the one Big Mac. Then while you're in a drive-thru, they famously ask you, "would you like to add a fry for that for 59 cents? Well, it's just 59 cents. Well, I don't need a fry. But fry is a potato, and potatoes are, God made potatoes. That's a natural food. And they're not that bad, and they're carbs, but they don't. There's no trans fats now, so they do it in better oil. Yeah, give me a small fry. Would you like a soft drink with that? No, I'll do what? Well, let's see. I could get a diet drink. Yeah, give me a Diet Coke. So now you've left with a Big Mac, a small fry, and a Diet Coke, and you don't clean the basement, you gain weight, you barf that night, and you failed. That's how it works. Because we listen to the wrong voice. That's how it transpires. I mean, that's just how it is. Now, as you can tell by that elaborate story, I've been there. So when something's that real, you can describe it pretty good. Yes, that's true. You ever been slap full? I mean, you're full. You ate dinner, you come home, you're watching a little TV at night to unwind. You're full. But they show a Pizza Hut commercial. And all of a sudden, it looks good, don't it? I mean, you're full. But when they pull, and it never looks like that in real life, where they pull the slice out, the cheese like 3 miles long, and it's stretching like this, and steam, it never looks like that in real life. It's flat and cheeseless and no string. But on TV, it makes it look good. And it makes you want it. You have those thoughts. And you don't even want it. Melanie's thing is steak. If you ever smell steak cooking, no matter how full you are, you smell steak cooking, it smells good. You eat dinner, you go in Walmart, you come out, you smell Logan's over there, right? And you just ate, but you smell that steak cooking. Man, steak smells good. And it's amazing what we process. And how our flesh wins so many of those battles, and how we justify it. Now, the Big Mac's a very, you know, non-dangerous story. Well, yeah, too many can be dangerous. But a non-dangerous story. But what when it comes to stuff like the spirit of lust, spirit of jealousy, spirit of pride, that little by little we give the devil a little foothold because it's not that bad. You know, God, I deserve this. You see my life. You see the stress I'm under. And God, I deserve this pleasure or this fun or this outlet or whatever the devil's trying to speak to us. And we are so quick. The devil's a great attorney. He would be a great prosecutor because he can make a case very good in our minds of how we're doing better than we were. So thank God for that. And how you're not what you used to be. So thank God for that. And he paints this beautiful case to where when the devil gets done with us, we're standing up saying, I'm innocent. And we're walking out of the courthouse whenever we're full of guilt. But that's how the devil works. Because that's the voices that we listen to, and they entrap us. Every stronghold can be broken by the power of God. I want that to be clear this morning. Every stronghold, everything that binds you now, can be broken by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every addiction, every wrong thought, every wrong attitude, whatever is going on that's holding us, whether it's fear or doubt, whatever it is, it can be broken by the power of God. But we must surrender to that and trust God for that and not let the devil keep winning that battle. Because, man, he's good at that. He is so good at hitting us right here. And we start saying things we can't even believe sometimes. I just said that. Why am I talking that way? Because that's what's coming in. How do we buffer that? By getting the Word of God and saying what God's Word says. Read the stories of the Bible. Read what God has done. Look at all the testimonies throughout. I mean, this is one big testimony book is what it is, of what God has done, how God delivered from the Hebrew children to Daniel in the den, to David and Goliath, you know, to Abraham's seed, to Joseph out of prison, to Moses out of Egypt. I mean, it goes on and on and on of what God has done. That's what we need to focus on. Say, you know what, God? You are still God of deliverance, the God of healing. And I'm going to be like Caleb and Joshua. And when I look at my giant, I'm not going to see them as a giant. I'm going to see them as the obstacle that God's going to take out of my way. That's all. Do you realize there are no sizable giants in God's eyes? Nothing's bigger to God than something else. There's no problem in God's eyes bigger than any other problem because he's over all things. We're the one that measures our giants, not God. Don't measure your giants. If we believe God's bigger than anything, why are we measuring our giants? Why are we getting a tape measure out and saying, boy, this is a pretty big God? Why? If we believe God is bigger than everything, if we believe God can do anything, then why are we measuring our giants? We shouldn't be. They all fall in the name of Jesus. Just the same. It's like the old Western days, and they'd be on a shootout, you know, and a little guy shoots a big guy, and he'd fall down. He'd make the old saying, well, like to say, the bigger they are, harder they fall. I bet the earth shook when Goliath fell. Think about 9 foot tall, 600 pounds, whatever he weighed with all that armor. And I mean, that's a big guy. That's what God says. Hey, they all fall. Don't matter to me. They all fall. One bullet takes every man down. That's all it takes. One touch of me takes it all down. But what happens, we start measuring our giants and then categorizing them and believing God can do this but not do this. You know, God, you can do this. But boy, now God, this is a big one. Because I've been diagnosed with some disease and it's a big disease, God. I'm not talking about diabetes. I'm talking about this is a big disease. I mean a big, big disease, God. Well, that don't affect God. He doesn't measure that. We measure that. Doesn't matter how waver-based our child is. God doesn't measure that. We measure that. Doesn't matter how bad we are financially. Man, Lord, I'm telling you, the checkbook is really, let me just say this, God. You know what a trampoline is, right, Lord? That's my checkbook. We know what trampolines do, right? Yes. Bounce. That's where we are, God. It doesn't matter. If we got 3 cent checking or $3 million in checking, God doesn't measure any of that. God meets our need and provides for us where we're at. And no matter what giant comes our way, it has to go down the same way every giant goes down. By the authority of the one who lived, who died, and who rose. That's every giant under his hand. So be encouraged by that and quit sizing them up. Don't matter how big it is. Not if you believe God's bigger. That's good. That's good teaching, church. I don't care if y'all don't amen me. That's good teaching. I motivated myself. It's good preaching. Amen, Pastor James. Thank you. How I feel the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's good teaching. So leave here different. Leave here saying, you know what? I'm going to not let thoughts of the enemy control me no more. I'm going to think like God thinks. God says that all things are possible with Him. God says, I'm more than a conqueror through Him which strengthens me. God says, all things work together for good to them who are called. That's what God says. So start saying what God says, and watch what will happen. Your mind will start thinking like God says and not like the devil says. Because the devil is a liar. You can't believe nothing he says. Any of y'all know any liars in here? Don't raise your hand. They're liars. And you know they're liars. You can't believe nothing they say. That's the devil. Nothing he says is truth. The Bible says he is a liar, the father of liars. So think about this. When you got fear coming against you, don't ever say, God, is this you making me cautious? God don't deal in fear. If it's discouragement, don't say, God, you're trying to humble me. So I'll be like Eeyore, and I'll be discouraged and walk around with a long face because this is humility. That's the devil that brings you discouraged. It's the devil's take your shout and your dance and your song and your step. That's the devil wants to rob you of that. God wants to give it back to you. God wants to restore you back to that place of fellowship and love and joy and peace and power. That's what God does. So when the devil speaks anything to you that's not God, because again, you know it's a lie. That should be a lie. That should, right there should motivate you. That's a lie. I think we'll accept that. That's a lie. We all face it, church. We all are afraid. We all get discouraged. We all fight things. But remind yourself of what God's word says. He is for us. He loves us. He died for us. He gave himself for us. He's not going to drop us. He's not going to leave us hanging in the balance. He's not going to let us completely cross over. God is not going to drop us in the middle of this valley and leave us abandoned. God is going to carry us to the finish line. Trust that. God's going to carry us across. Quit listening to the voice of the enemy. Listen to the voice of God. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. Lord, for every voice that is of discouragement, for every voice of fear, for every voice that is against your word, that are speaking to lies in this place, God, let them recognize that's not you. Let them begin to hear your voice, Lord. Your voice says all things are possible. Your voice says I love you. Your voice says I'm here for you. Your voice says you're an overcomer. Your voice says you're a winner through me. Your voice says you're bought by the blood. Your voice says you're redeemed forevermore. God, your voice reminds us that we are your children, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That's what your voice says. And for every discouraging voice of fear, for every stronghold that people hear, that's all they're hearing and all they're seeing is the battle before them and can't see the victory past that. God, I pray for eyes to be opened, ears to hear a new sound, minds to receive new thoughts, strength to go another day, a mouth to speak forth words of life that cancel out words of death, that say, God, I know you're for me. I know you love me. I know you're in me. I know you're going to get me through this, and I'm going to focus on what your word says and not what my flesh tells me. I'm going to take these thoughts and put them in prison and get rid of them that they can't harm me no more. I'm going to lead them into captivity into your thoughts, God, that I only hear and follow your voice, whatever that is. Let strongholds be broken in this place, Lord. Let hearts be encouraged. Let people realize that through you all things are possible, that they don't have to go one more day the way they are today, but your mercies are new every day for every heart, for every mind, for every life. God, I pray for healing and strength and deliverance, that they go free today, Jesus. Free, free to worship, free to reign, free to live, free to love, that they leave it all behind today. They leave it all behind today and walk out of here new creations in you. Thank you, Jesus, for your word, for your love for us. Thank you, God, that we can do all things through you. Let us listen to you. Stop measuring our giants. Stop trying to figure out how big they are. It doesn't matter how big they are. You're bigger. It just doesn't matter, God. You're bigger. Let us put down the pencil and stop drawing out the size of the battle. And just know you are over the battle and that you will bring victory to your saints. We thank you and we praise you for your love and your peace and your mercy that we can all have. That in a world of chaos, in a world of fear, we can have peace. Thank you, Jesus. Touch every life in here, Lord, and every heart. I pray each one leaves with something they didn't come here today with. They leave changed and encouraged. They leave with something to use outside these walls. We give you honor and praise for who you are, Lord. You are our King. Thank you for being our King and loving us so much. In the name of Jesus, we pray this prayer. Amen.